What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And for those of you watching on YouTube, yes, we are wearing our yellow vests, which were sent to us as a gift from one of our listeners. And we're very, very grateful.
Yes.
Yes. So we are in our new raiment here, as it were.
Yes. And as they say in France, liberté, égalité, fraternité, sororité, et seulement la paix. Seulement la paix. What I just said in French, liberty, equality, brotherhood, sisterhood, and peace.
Peace, especially peace. We need a lot of peace right now here.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the first thing you want to talk about here?
I wanted to talk about President Trump's coming up on the aspect of AI for the military.
Yes.
That was kind of an interesting place that he put it, because he made the observation that it's going to affect every single facet of theater of war out there.
Well, it sounds really good, and I know it's going to result in a lot of funding for AI research, which Trump has already made a priority so that we can maintain an edge in that technology. But unfortunately, the real world is that the U.S. military has not had a lot of luck producing solid, reliable software. We know that it was a software error that led the USS Vincennes to kill that Iranian passenger jet. We know it was a software error that was probably behind the accidental shootdown of TWA-800.
Yes.
We know that the software for the F-35 is still said to be years away from being perfected. And these are non-AI applications. And given that AI can operate and change its own code and learn faster than humans can keep up, I'm a little concerned about this, that we may be getting into a technology that, as so many science fiction movies like to portray, could get out of our control very quickly.
Absolutely. And there have been some stories on the potential for what they called killer robots who just take over and decide we're not useful anymore.
Well, that could very well be. And some of the early AI experiments have shown that these systems can just go off into completely unpredictable areas. There was some early experiments with AI natural speech processors where they had these two AIs talking back and forth. And in one experiment, they simply evolved their own language, which people couldn't understand. And in another one, one of the AIs went the computer equivalent of psychotic and just started screaming obscenities and "I want to kill you." And so, yeah, I'm a little concerned about this. We're basically handing this kind of technology over to our weapon systems. And we're obviously not the first people to be concerned about this. I mean, iRobot is a good example. The film version, not the Isaac Asimov original. War Games, Colossus, the Forbin Project, and of course, all the James Cameron Terminator movies.
Yes, absolutely. But hopefully, if they can get it under control, it sounds like something that would really be wonderful.
Well, it's interesting technology, but again, the idea that it's being applied to machinery designed to kill people and blow large holes in other people's property, I'm a little less enthusiastic about it. I'm certainly looking at some of the other AI applications which are more beneficial to the human race.
Well, what would those be, in your opinion?
Well, take your sip of water and let's get your microphone back up so that we can hear you. Okay. Here we are.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah. Well, we know that AI is they're trying to use AI for the development of new medications. They're trying to use AI basically to design new AI, which has its own problems, potential issues. They're now applying AI to the financial markets. And I think there's an illustration there of why AI in the military may have a problem, because we're seeing in the financial markets the high-frequency trading systems, which are starting to use AI, they're mm-hmm. programmed with one goal, make more money, make more earnings. Mm-hmm. And everything that they're oblivious to everything else around them, including whether or not the actions and trades they're carrying out are ruining lives for ordinary people as companies are driven out of business.
Yeah.
So let's take that paradigm into, you know, warfare, where these AIs are designed to simply kill the enemy no matter what. Mm-hmm. And any other concerns around them, such as civilian populations, natural wonders.
Yeah. Historical. How will they be able to determine?
Yeah.
That is an issue. That,
they may not care.
Yeah.
And again, I think Cameron was being very, very prescient with his Terminator movie.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'd like to take a look at economy in the East, in Asia. And this comes to us from Zero Hedge, generally a very thoughtful and well-written blog. Tyler Durden is the nom de plume. There are several people who write under that name. But they're talking about the Shanghai Accord 2.0. And apparently what the Chinese bank has done in late December, when traders were away, the PBOC indicated that they were going to have a big shift in the official monetary policy description at the December Central Economic Work Conference, from prudent and neutral to prudent with appropriate looseness and tightness. And that's kind of a really strange slip of the tongue there. And apparently this is the new description. It sounds very much similar to what was adopted in 2015, just as their monetary policy eased significantly. And ahead of the famous Shanghai Accord of January 2016, when the world was on a real path to a bear market, a coordinated response from G7 leaders in China sparked a massive rally in stocks. And what China did was to unleash another massive credit injection burst, which impacted the global economy for the next year. And as Goldman said at the time, such official policy language, while subtle, can carry important information about the monetary policy stance. Mike, what do you think about this?
It's sounding to me like China is going down the quantitative easing route.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with the economy so globally linked, when something happens in any one of the large economies,
yeah.
it can send shockwaves through the rest of the world's economies. And right now, it's one thing to have this massive credit injection and use it to bolster the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to really have a significant impact on the lives of ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another instance of how the world of finance and economics continues to disconnect from ordinary people.
Mm-hmm. That does not sound like it's going to have an ultimate good outcome. It can't.
No, it isn't. And we're seeing it now here in the United States, where, you know, Wall Street is still having a real good time. The Federal Reserve is keeping them propped up. And the news is saying the economy is great. And yet we're seeing consumer spending continue to decline.
Mm-hmm.
Delinquencies on car loans, delinquencies on mortgages. Everybody is just buried in debt with no way to pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
And the financial elites are oblivious. They really don't care. They're getting their wealth, even though much of it is being manufactured out of thin air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. Turning our eyes toward politics, apparently there was a suicide attack on Iranian soldiers, which just coincided with Crown Prince bin Salman's visit to Pakistan. And what it was a suicide attack on Revolutionary Guards in Iran's southeastern province of Sistan and Baluchistan, the second in 2 months. And it must have created some awkwardness for the Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan. And
well, what if it was a false flag? Because,
yeah.
First of all, this was a car bomb.
Yes.
So nobody really got to see, you know, what the driver looked like, or even if there was a driver.
Mm-hmm.
For all we know, the car could have just been parked and set off by remote control.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's apparently in a very troubled border province.
Yes.
In Pakistan, killed 27 and wounded 13, and occurred just days before Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was scheduled to meet Pakistan as a part of his tour of Asian countries. And while Baluchistan is set to figure prominently in Prince Mohammed's talks with Mr. Khan, the attack was also coinciding with a U.S.-sponsored conference in Warsaw, widely seen as an effort by the Trump administration to further isolate Iran economically and diplomatically.
Well, I'm not sure exactly why there would be a linkage between this car bombing. Yeah, I can see where that might have been intended to send a message. And the message may be lost because, as we reported earlier in the show, mm-hmm. that Warsaw conference turned out to be a debacle.
And oh.
They did not accomplish what they wanted to accomplish.
No, they didn't get
which
at
was
all.
To rah-rah and say, yeah. Let's all agree we're going to pile up on Iran.
Yeah, and that thing about the statement of war that Netanyahu made.
Yes.
There's an English translation into the Hebrew for war, and it means exactly the same thing in the Hebrew language as it does in English.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And this conference in Warsaw was dubbed the Ministerial to Promote a Future of Peace and Security in the Middle East. And Mike Pompeo kept insisting that U.S. policy was designed to force Iran to alter its regional and defense policies and not geared toward regime change in Tehran.
Well,
oh, yeah, Mike. Mikey,
he may have
Mikey.
Said that in the beginning, but yeah. Toward the end of the conference, he was saying yeah. There will never be peace in the Middle East unless Iran is dealt with.
Yeah.
And again, there was another analysis that said basically this conference was set on up for Washington to reassert its hegemony over mm-hmm. the Middle East because of the fallout from the U.S. withdrawal from the P5+1 treaty,
yeah,
which
yeah.
had resulted in the U.S. Being isolated mm-hmm. because all these other countries that signed on to the P5+1, they want to continue with the deal.
Yeah.
And I think they justifiably resent the United States coming on in and saying, well, look, we've decided the deal is over and we need you to come on our side and make stink face at Iran. Mm-hmm. And these other countries basically were not enthusiastic about that. And I think there is a growing feeling around the world that the United States is throwing its weight around way too much and that it's time to seek ways of reducing U.S. influence, hopefully non-militarily. Primarily economically, so that the United States really gets the dose of humble they so desperately need.
Yes, I would say so. And apparently, right outside of the conference that we saw, Rudy Giuliani, the personal attorney for President Trump, was addressing a rally created by the Mujahideen al-Khalq. Now, this is a controversial Iranian exile group, which is believed to enjoy Saudi backing. And Mr. Giuliani told the protesters, who waved Iranian flags and giant yellow balloons emblazoned with the words regime change, that we want to see a regime change in Iran.
And obviously this controversial Saudi-backed Iranian group is going to be the basis of the new internationally approved government of Iran.
Here. Yeah, yeah. Weren't they on the U.S.'s someone's foreign terrorist list?
I'm not mm-hmm. sure. I don't think so. It's hard to tell. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
yeah.
So.
Next thing I'd like to talk about is 5G communications.
Okay.
And it is being described, again, in Zero Hedge, actually no, Blacklisted News, the magic pixie dust of tech policy conversations. What is it about 5G, Mike, that is making people so excited, but also worried from a health standpoint?
Well, I think a lot of these concerns about, you know, health is part of a propaganda campaign mm-hmm. to get 5G kind of not be adopted in this country, because 5G technology was pioneered and is owned by Chinese companies, including Huawei.
Okay.
To whom, all if right. 5G is adopted in this country, mm-hmm. royalties would have to be paid.
Mm.
And so a lot of this hue and cry about 5G will make your nose drop off, mm-hmm. I think, is coming from the current holders of 4G and 3G technology, mm-hmm. who basically can't compete with 5G and they don't want to.
Yeah.
So they're trying to scare people away from 5G. That's where I think that's coming from.
Okay.
5G is basically built around the same radio wavelengths and technology as 4G. It just has a higher bandwidth, and it's probably going to work really, really well. Another issue for the United States, however, is that our internet backbone in many places won't support the bandwidth for 5G. Oh. You may have 5G on your cell phone, but you'll get stuff delivered at 4G speeds. We went through that with the original 4G versus 4G LTE.
Yeah.
When we got 4G here in Hawaii, it was operating at 3G speeds because our local internet just couldn't keep up. Yeah. We're way behind the rest of the world on internet technology, which is amazing because it was originally invented by the United States for the ARPANET. And like so many other things, they got a good start going and then they just dropped the ball.
Yeah,
it's like when we went to the moon and never went back, although NASA now is saying they want to go back now.
Well, good.
Now that, you know, China's up there and embarrassing us and all these other countries are up at the moon. Mm-hmm. We got to get back there. It's our moon. It's 50 years ago that we did this.
Yep. And apparently Sprint and T-Mobile have been talking to anyone out there who will listen that their competition eroding merger is the only way to ensure that America doesn't fall behind on 5G. And this is, in fact, despite the fact that both companies are on record clearly stating they both could have easily deployed 5G independently. And that same argument popped up again this week during merger hearings on Capitol Hill, as still did the well-weathered claim that the merger is essential if America wants to beat China in the rush to 5G.
Well, I don't know why that would be a factor, because we here in America are not going to be using China's 5G.
No.
And people in China are not going to be using American 5G. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call here from Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Mike, Ohotnik means the hunter. That stealth drone Russia has.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And Mike, you know, you're right with the 5G. That has to do with containing China technology-wise. That's why they're going around to Canada, and trying to get Germany on board and France. And but China and Russia's, I mean, and India, that's like half the world, right? So, I mean, how many? You know, it doesn't matter if the U.S. don't have it at all. You know, China's got a base of people that'll... No problem with 5G, you know. But, Mike, basically, with Rudy Giuliani, the State Department had that group on the terror watch list, and Rudy Giuliani lobbied and got it taken off.
That group, that's where the confusion comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah, that group, MK something, that basically, that's a terrorist group.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, I mean... indirectly linked to Saudi Arabia. They're like Wahhabi, you know. So if you want to know who probably put the bomb in the car on the side, it was probably them. Maybe they had information that Republican Guard were going past that area, you know. I mean, this is the kind of tricks these people pull, Mike. Remember when they shot up the parade?
Yep.
Yes.
In Iran, so Rudy Giuliani, he lobbied for them, so he's not like Mr. Clean. You know,
no, he never has been. I mean, he still has questions to answer, like, you know, who told him that Building 7 was going to collapse?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't it amazing, though? He's in that group. You realize that he's in that clique?
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's a shame. I don't know, Claire, what do you think, like, with Trump with the border wall and all? Like, what, the whole him signing the thing? I mean, do you think he, like, pulled the funny one on us, you know what I mean? Like, is there a part of you that thinks, like, we've been duped?
Well, I wish that his people had been more proactive in reading about all the places where he couldn't build these national monuments, sanctuaries, et cetera, because the bill is full of more holes than Swiss cheese. And California today has come out with a legal action. Governor Newsom has come out with a lawsuit preventing the federal government from doing that.
Okay, well, we've got to take a break for commercials. Thank you for the phone call, Dustin, and we will be right back.
extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones to Sean in North Carolina. Aloha, Sean. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Wanted to talk a little bit about all the people calling about the wall. I think at this point, the wall is kind of irrelevant. If he built a wall a month ago, we're in the kind of trouble that the only thing, in my view, that's going to save this country is a hot civil war, and I'll tell you why. We have a problem with legal migration here in this country. So if he built the wall a month ago, yes, it's going to keep the illegals out, but we have a problem with legal migration here. Let me tell you why. The left has painted a picture to all the legal migrants here that the white wealthy is the devil in this country. And at this point, they have so many children that's about to turn 18 with the indoctrination in them that the only way that they can get to the level of the single white male and everything they have is to vote somebody that is for them. And the left is all about the migrants. Doesn't matter if they're legal or illegal. And we're going to get to a point when those children severely outnumber us, that we'll never win another election. As it is, even with a wall keeping the illegals out, it's already too late here. One of the two has to be removed.
I agree. It's a problem. And the Democrats, they're so far along with this plan, they're not even hiding it anymore. There are Democrats out there saying that, yeah, we rely on these illegal immigrant voters. And, hey, don't you understand? They're not supposed to vote. And at which point they scream, oh, you're being a racist. They have a right to come here and they have a right to vote. No, they don't. Read the rules. And like I said, we're dealing with people who don't really know what the laws are.
Yeah.
Our Senator Mazie Hirono had to be told during a congressional hearing that there's actually a law against stepping across the border from Mexico into the United States of America. And you talk about clueless. But, you know, it's all this politics and ideology, and our government is really factionalizing to the point where it could easily crumble in the very, very near future.
Mm-hmm.
And again, while I'm glad the wall is getting built as a temporary stopgap, the real way to stop the illegal immigrant problem is to just start enforcing Title VIII. And that's the elephant in the room. Why aren't people enforcing Title VIII? Because the laws are already on the books. If they cross the border, kick them back on over. If somebody on this side of the border helps them out, put that somebody in jail. If employers who give illegals jobs, they need to go to jail. People who are providing sanctuary, housing, transportation, any kind of aid to undocumented immigrants, they're guilty of Title VIII violations. These mayors of sanctuary cities, these governors of sanctuary states are guilty of all these Title VIII violations with one count per illegal immigrant. So if Title VIII were to be enforced, these mayors and governors are going away for the rest of their lives. They're going to be going away for longer than El Chapo is.
Yeah, to me, it's come to the point where, you know, they're making it clear that, you know, they want a complete takeover. They want to get rid of all the Americans that they possibly can to be taken over by migrants. I mean, they're passing laws that you, if you're an American citizen, you can go get a legal abortion. But they're all about saving these poor, innocent migrant children. Doesn't matter if they're with MS-13 or whatnot. But if you're an American citizen, we made it
legal.
Here's the irony. Here's the irony. Listen to this. If a policeman, if a woman is on her way to have an abortion and somebody recklessly hits her, and when the cops show up, they're going to be charged with double murder. But if she makes it safely to that abortion clinic, that's completely fine.
Not in New York.
That's what kind of country we live in.
Okay. Sean, there was this case in New York where this guy murdered his pregnant girlfriend. And because of New York's new abortion law, he was not charged in the death of the baby. That's how crazy it is. What's going on is the globalists want to go into every part of the world, get rid of the, shall we say, indigenous, hereditary, multi-generational population, mm-hmm. and replace them with immigrants,
yep.
as part of this effort to basically take the human race, put them into a blender, hit puree, and pour out this blended race of workers for the future. And that's really what's behind all of this. And that's the reason for all of this anti-white agenda here in the United States of America. And we're seeing in Europe, and even the French yellow vests are saying, it appears to be that the European Union wants to get rid of the French and the Italian and the German people and replace them with people from Africa and people from the Middle East. Anyway, Sean, we got to let you go. Thank you for the phone call.
Thanks,
Mike. We're gonna close the phone lines again, and we'll be back after these commercials.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bomb. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The
and aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And Claire, you've got a story up on your talking points I think is very important. And it actually gets back to something I mentioned earlier in the program.
Okay. Apparently, we are looking at Saudi Arabia and the upcoming secret nuclear war.
Well, I got a news flash for you. It's very difficult to keep a nuclear war secret because of all the noise it makes.
Yes. Okay. And apparently, Israel has been issuing some very dire threats against both Syria and Iran of thermonuclear devastation if either nation retaliates against Israeli bombings. Could you turn that? Thank you.
Okay.
The world is moving closer to the brink, folks, and there are a lot of factors coming up, including Israel's internal political collapse. And the writer of this article, and I think this is also from Zero Hedge, we're pushing toward more instability, and with America also pushing toward more political instability, it's making things even worse. Now, Mike, has an actual indictment come against Netanyahu yet?
We have not heard anything. It was supposed to happen this week, and so far we're not hearing anything. But again, early in the program, we were reporting on how, because Netanyahu is running out of Iranian targets in Syria, he is now saying we're going to go after Iran in other countries, starting with Iraq.
Oh, boy.
And no matter what you call it, he's bombing other people's countries.
Yeah.
And they can't bomb him back because Israel has these nuclear weapons that he could fry them with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Netanyahu gets to act real butch. He can be manly and warrior-like and, you know, send other people's kids and American weapons to blow things up in these other countries, and they don't dare fight back. And that's it is an ugly, ugly situation.
And apparently no one can reason with him, because I know that Russia's Putin has tried.
Yep.
But that's not happening. And
well, Netanyahu is politically cornered because, you know, if he is facing that indictment, he is behind in the polls with Benny Gantz. And Benny Gantz is not much better than Netanyahu. In fact, I would say Benny Gantz is probably slightly to the right of Attila the Hun.
Ooh, ouch. Not
good. And is out there already campaigning on the settlements are important for Israel's spirituality and security. So Gantz is also on board with this idea of eventually annexing Gaza and the West Bank and saying, this is now all Israel, all you Palestinians, get out.
Absolutely. And apparently there is a lot of nuclear proliferation going on.
Yes.
And new ones are clean.
Let's back up a bit here because you missed an important part.
Ah, okay.
They're talking about how most nations have secret organizations that investigate nuclear proliferation but monitor the use of nuclear explosives. Now, we used to have one in this country. It's probably been replaced by now. But do you remember when Valerie Plame was outed?
Yes.
As a CIA asset.
Yes.
And, the company where she was working, Brewster Jennings and Associates, turned out to be the CIA's facility for tracking third world nuclear weapons. And it just got utterly destroyed by this outing of Valerie Plame. And the point that this article we're looking at here is making is the earlier designed nuclear weapons were very dirty. They were inefficient. They only burned a tiny bit of their cores, leaving the rest as fallout. That's a good example would be Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And even after the devastation of those bombs, after that was all the radiation that had to be cleaned up. Now, supposedly, newer nuclear warheads are designed to burn up their cores entirely and leaving no radiation or little radiation at all. And unfortunately, they're cheap to build, simple in design, and any nation that wants nuclear weapons can have them. All you need is that fissionable material, and it's starting to appear that may not be as tightly controlled by the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty as people talked about. If you remember back when the former government of South Africa fell, documents surfaced showing that Israel was in the process of selling a nuclear weapon to South Africa. And it's thought that Israel and South Africa jointly tested a nuclear weapon called the Vela incident. So it's in all probability there are nuclear weapons out there that nobody knows about.
And this starts to focus, though, about Saudi Arabia. Now, this has a larger military budget than Russia, but Russia spends much of their budget on a huge standing army, navy, dozens of nuclear submarines, and a massive thermonuclear missile capability, which is supported by an equally huge stockpile of nuclear weapons. Now, Saudi Arabia spends more than Russia, but it's got a small navy, small standing army, mostly foreign mercenaries or mercs, if you will, hired from allies. And apparently their budget makes no sense unless you scrutinize it very carefully. Now, Saudi Arabia spends about 40% of its military budget on nuclear weapons and delivery systems. And this is why they're caught so often lying when claims are made about how many weapons they buy each year from Britain and the U.S. And the real delivered numbers are minuscule, and Saudi depends on American bombs, American refueling, and even Israeli planes in their war on Yemen.
Well, now that's interesting that that's surfacing now, because one of the stories we had, I think it was just yesterday, is that there is a measure being introduced into Congress to find a way to prevent Saudi Arabia from obtaining nuclear weapons. I'm sure that this is coming directly from Israel. Mm-hmm. But if this is accurate, it may well be that Saudi Arabia already has them.
Yeah.
That they learned a lesson from Israel, developed them in secret, and then don't tell anybody really that you have them.
Yeah. And where there was an article from CNN, the Clinton News Network, October 13th of last year, and the figures from Britain are skewed even more. Now, President Trump made the observation that he didn't want a $110 billion arms deal he brokered with Saudi Arabia to unravel over allegations that the Gulf Kingdom had murdered a journalist at its consulate in Turkey.
Yeah, we got lots of journalists.
Yeah, but his comments are missing the mark on a key fact. Saudi Arabia has so far only followed through on a $14.5 billion in actual purchases. Now, what is spoken of today is kind of straying a lot from the truth, and it's a disinformation campaign that tries to erase history. From Strategic Culture, a site the FBI says is financed by a foreign spy agency, we read the following. The Israeli government has begun selling the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia information on how to develop nuclear weapons, according to a senior official at the Israeli military organization, IHLS, Israel's Homeland Security. Amit Doran, who is a senior nuclear commentator at the organization, partially funded by the U.S. weapons giant Raytheon, not a surprise there, came forward because of his concerns over the emerging nuclear arms race in the region. And the cooperation between Israel and the U.S. in helping the Saudis develop a nuclear program is just the latest sign of their warming relationship, with Israel recently calling the Saudi crown prince a partner of Israel. And, you know, it's interesting. The two BFFs of President Trump in the Middle East, the butcher of Gaza and the butcher of Yemen. I don't know what's tied up in that, Mike, but something.
Well, and this next paragraph is the really significant part.
Though packaged as a revelation, in fact, the information seems to damn both Israel and Saudi Arabia. In fact, it covers about 40 years of cooperation in nuclear weapons research and production.
Well, that basically tells us, I mean, Saudi Arabia does have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And the part that annoys me about this, and I mentioned it before,
is
we're always hearing that poor little Israel is being threatened by all those other nasty Middle Eastern countries, and that's why the United States has to send so much money and so many weapons to Israel to defend itself. And here we find out that all those Middle Eastern nations, except for Iran, are all buddy-buddy and have been for decades.
Yeah.
But if Israel and Saudi Arabia have been working on nuclear weapons for 40 years, Saudi Arabia has them. It doesn't take that long to do it. It didn't even take the Manhattan Project that long to build a nuclear weapon, and they were going completely from scratch.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently, Saudi Arabia's next foray into nuclear partnership touches on Pakistan. Since 79, Pakistan has deployed troops in Saudi Arabia ostensibly to defend that nation. Remember, a nation with a military budget larger than Russia's from Iran. And India now is going to isolate Pakistan after suicide bomb attack on a police convoy that killed 44 Indian police. And I don't know quite how India thinks it's going to do that, but they've threatened to completely isolate Pakistan on a global scale following the suicide car bomb, which killed 44 paramilitary police officers in the disputed Kashmir region. Well, to the Indian Prime Minister, I have one word. Referendum. Give the people of Kashmir an opportunity to choose. And I mean, that's been teased on the mic ever since World War II. But what the Kashmiri people need that's going to diffuse this anger and this violence is a choice between becoming independent, if India would let it.
You're assuming that this suicide car bomb was a grassroots event,
and
to
me,
this feels like it's a false flag provocation.
It could have been,
to basically allow India to go on an aggression against Pakistan.
Yep. And apparently the car was packed with 350 kilograms of explosives. Is that a lot?
That is a lot. That's one heck of a big bang.
Excuse me. And overtook the 78-vehicle convoy and rammed into a bus about 12 miles from the regional capital, Srinagar, yesterday. And, you know, it was a pretty terrible act.
Yeah.
So you think that this was a false...
Yeah, they heard the explosion 12 kilometers away. That,
wow.
That was a big, big bomb. And again, that's another reason to suspect state sponsorship to get that much explosive.
Yeah. The Pakistani-based Islamist militant group Jaish-e-Mohammed claimed responsibility. And theoretically. So the Indian government is saying, we demand that Pakistan stop supporting terrorists and terrorist groups operating from their territory and dismantling the infrastructure operated by terrorist outfits to launch attacks in other countries. Now, that was in an Indian foreign ministry statement. And, I mean, Mike, it was a pretty lousy, horrible attack. But you see state-sponsored strings?
Yeah, I would say. And again, I question whether Pakistan really had anything to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't really gain them anything.
No.
And it provokes India and justifies India escalating tensions along that Kashmir region.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like a false flag to me.
Okay. All righty. You've already covered this,
yeah,
right?
We already talked about, about the summit in Poland.
Yeah.
And Netanyahu was out there, and he was really all over the top. And a lot of people are saying that, in effect, he was using that Warsaw conference as a campaign platform.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason he was speaking in Hebrew and texting in Hebrew, because his target audience was back home in Israel.
Right.
But it may not really help him. And again, part of it is because, with the exception of Netanyahu himself, world leaders did not show up.
Yeah, Trump, they sent their lackeys.
Yeah, the lackeys were there. So here's Netanyahu, you know, with the flunkies trying to say, we're going to go after Iran. But in the end, the whole summit basically was a debacle.
Yeah.
It was Washington's attempt to reassert itself as the center political influence in the region.
Mm-hmm.
That failed.
Yep.
Pompeo was there to build support among the Middle Eastern nations to go after Iran.
Mm-hmm.
That failed.
Yep.
He was there to try and get the rest of the P5 plus one nations to pull out of the deal and allow sanctions. Mm-hmm. That failed.
Right.
So three strikes and you're out.
Yeah, something like that. And we need to remember that in 2002, Netanyahu told Congress, if you take out Saddam, I guarantee you that it will have an enormous positive reverberations on the region.
Wrong.
Oh, ow. You know, I mean, come on, BB. It's ridiculous. And history has shown us what a horrendous thing this was.
Yes.
And it was all about the oil, controlling it, controlling the company that was going to explore Iran's other oil fields. And that the oil was only going to be sold in dollars. Is that still the case with Iraqi oil?
Very much so. Iraq's oil is still being trafficked in the U.S. dollar. Same thing with Libya.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why we're going into Venezuela. Venezuela has a habit of selling their oil for other currencies.
Yeah.
And the U.S. is trying to reassert the petrodollar to keep the world basically under the hegemonic domination of the U.S. dollar.
Right.
And try and reverse this trend of de-dollarization that we're seeing in all these other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's going to come to a head is going to be, the world is going to be split basically in two. Those nations that are still under the control of the U.S. dollar versus those nations that are going to break away with their own independent system.
Mm-hmm.
And if the U.S. can survive parasitizing on those nations that are still under the dollar, maybe things will calm down a little bit, but if those nations continue to split away to the non-dollar side, at some point it will result in a war.
Wow. That's a pretty awful thing to have to contemplate.
It's kind of a really silly idea to incinerate the surface of planet Earth in an argument over whose brand of ink and paper we're all supposed to use for the next 100 years.
Yeah, not good for we the people. I'd like to go over to the issue of intelligence and being able to evaluate data. There's a company that claims it has prevented 16 school shootings. Now,
using AI.
Yeah, using AI. And last year, you'll remember, on Valentine's Day, a gunman killed 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. It was apparently the deadliest high school shooting, if one wants to believe that, in U.S. history. And various tech companies have really ramped up the efforts to use AI to prevent similar tragedies. And they claim that the system is flagging many violent events before they happen. Sort of predictive pre-crime, right?
Well, it certainly didn't work in today's Aurora shooting.
No, heck no.
No, it didn't. Although that isn't a school.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to take a commercial break here.
Okay.
So this is our last commercial break. Back soon with the last segment of our show.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, last segment of our program on this POW HANA Friday. And a couple of stories to sort of I'll basically end the show, but kind of illustrate just how weird our country has become. Do you know that America spends more on its prison system than it does on public schools? And California is the worst of them. California spends $8.6 billion a year on its prison system, more than any other state, averaging $64,000 per inmate per year. It's also the state with the biggest gap between education and prison spending, spending just $11,000 per student for a difference of roughly $50,000.
Good Lord, that's awful, Mike.
That is. I'm sorry, but the schools are where the money should be going. Mm-hmm. And understand that a lot of those prisoners in those prisons are there for like minor drug offenses, like smoking a marijuana joint or something. But prisons have become big business now, mm-hmm. and huge profits are being made off of them.
Especially the private prisons.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. California has a lot of those private prisons. That's where the money is going. California pays the private prisons, and the prisons maximize their profits by setting up prison factories or prison call centers. Mm-hmm. And the prisoners will work. They'll be paid a little bit, mm-hmm. nowhere near minimum wage, but enough to get cigarettes from the prison commissary and stuff like that.
That bites.
And that, of course, is competition that outside businesses, they can't compete. Mm-hmm. Now, over in Times Square, in response to this horrible, horrible New York abortion law, Focus on the Family has launched See Life Clearly, which is the largest pro-life effort in the history of the organization. And it features live 4D ultrasounds that will be broadcast across the largest monitors in Times Square.
Good.
Yes, absolutely.
Good. Yeah.
And that law is horrible. That idea that this man who shot his pregnant girlfriend won't be charged for the death of the baby because of the abortion law.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Over in Mississippi, they're going another direction. They passed a bill to ban abortion once a baby's heartbeat is detected. I think that is a very good line to draw.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good. They're calling them the heartbeat bills.
Yeah.
Okay. This one I'm absolutely opposed against. This is at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and the Student Senate has authorized a campus-wide referendum to vote on whether today's Georgetown students could be forced to pay reparations fees for slaves the university sold nearly 200 years ago to pay off the school's debts.
Huh? You're not making that up.
I'm not making that up.
Whoa.
I'm not making that up. This idea that today's college students who have never been either slaves or slaveholders mm-hmm. are going to be forced to pay reparations to the descendants of these slaves back then.
But which descendants? I mean, how is that going to be chosen?
Oh, right? I imagine there's some genealogy involved in there and some paperwork. All right, there's the music. It's time for us to get out of here and get some stuff done with the rest of our Powhana Friday. Please stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please take what you learn here, share it with everybody that you know, and please donate to Republic Broadcasting. No donation is too small.
Amen.
Amen. Have a good, safe weekend.
Yes.
Have a good. We'll be back here on President's Day. It's on Monday. And aloha, America.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.